Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Zimzers.
Cats and dogs.
What was the thing? What's her name said in that? What was the Tiger King? Hello, my
cats and kittens.
Was yeah, that something like that.
She should be in jail.
We're season two. No, they did do a season two, didn't they?
Yeah, it was more of behind the scenes, like interviews with people that were in the first season.
Because it's all fake. They have nothing else to add to it.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if it's fake or not.
And plus, Tiger King's been in jail the whole time. What are you going to do? So.
Yeah, exactly. But we are back after a very long hiatus.
Yeah.
To shooting the film. And we thought, well, since we didn't record once in 2020, well, we recorded one episode in 2022. We just didn't put it up.
Like in January or something?
Yeah, it was for, what is it, Nobody? Is that what the movie's called?
Mr. Nobody, maybe?
Yeah, with Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have the file. I was going to say, I'll try and find it. I might be able to get it through the email I sent to my buddy Cameron, who never did the audio fix
for
it.
It's on my desktop. I haven't deleted it or anything, so.
Yeah. Just I remember him wanting to fix it a little bit to deal with the, I think there was some barking in the background on that one, if I remember right. Anyways, we are here to do basically a 2022 catch-up on stuff we watched, movie and TV show. I guess, I mean, even though technically we did watch it on a TV, it's not really like a TV. They're streaming shows, I guess, is what right. You would call it. Yeah, I don't know. Although TV show.
You still have your Regal Movie Pass thing, right?
No, I canceled it because I only ended up going to like one movie every other month. And I was like, this really isn't worth it.
Okay. See, I thought you were going to all these in the theater. That's why you watch some of these crappy movies.
So. Oh, no. A lot of these were from just streaming.
Okay. That's how I've been watching all of them. So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I did go to the theater for, you know, a handful of them. But I also had a bunch of free movie tickets still, too. So I used a lot of those for them.
Yeah, the movie theater here in town sucks. So.
Yeah. Yeah. They still haven't started the remodel on it yet?
No, it's gotten worse.
Why am I not surprised?
Like, their heater wasn't working, and so it was, like, freezing cold in there. Yeah. Dude, I think the RPX theater is okay, or whatever they call it. The Dolby something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the big one? The big screen?
Yeah, that's, like, the only one worth going to. So.
Yeah, but that's, like, a normal screen in Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bigger of a room. But other than that, it's pretty much, yeah. So we're going to, yeah, we'll start off with one of the movies I feel like everybody was super not hyped on, right? The Batman was pretty, I feel like, controversial. A lot of people were hating on it because of Robert Pattinson being Batman.
Right.
And just for the fact that this movie went through production hell, but it was insane that it still came out. I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot.
I thought there was some interesting parts, but it was kind of boring.
Yeah.
For sure.
You're not wrong. There were parts where it got really dull because it's long. Is it 3 hours or almost 3 hours?
Yeah, it's like, I don't remember. But yeah, it's close to 3 hours.
I liked the movie a lot for the fact that it was finally like Batman doing detective work. I mean, like, he did detective work in the other movies, but it was very minimal, you know?
Right. That was a really good part of the movie, yeah.
Yeah, and in this one, it's like, it's full-on Batman being detective, and I think it's his second year as Batman. So a lot of people still don't, like, trust him, you know, especially the police force.
Right.
And it shows in the movie, like, the only cop that actually, like, talks to him and, like, trusts him is Jim Gordon.
Right. The other cops are like, why is he here? He's touching evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I want to say I liked the Riddler for a little bit, but then, like, after he, like, reveals himself and stuff, it just kind of kills the vibe for the villain, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was pretty creepy.
Yeah, but just, like, I don't know, just that and his whole, like, he had his little, like, Reddit gang, too.
But his 4chan or something? But, yeah.
Yeah. whatever it was.
His whole plan was to get arrested so he could watch things blow up from jail. Like that did, I don't know. There was more to it than that, but that just seemed like a weird part of it.
That whole twist, I feel like that was like a studio reshoot, because they were like, this is a Batman movie, and you didn't have Batman do a lot of like actiony Batman stuff.
Right.
So we want you to throw in something, and then it just felt like they threw in like a not used Christopher Nolan idea. That's the vibes I was getting. It's just like, wait, why are they flooding not Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, that was, his whole plot of like flooding the city, like I didn't get it. Like,
yeah, I was just like, hold on, this movie was great up until right now.
Because they thought everyone's got to go into the stadium so they could shoot him from the catwalk.
The rafters. And it's just like, well, I don't even know. Yeah, and then Batman does his Batman stuff. I thought Robert Pattinson I didn't think he'd do it. He didn't do a bad job, but I didn't think he'd do that great of a job either, to be honest.
I liked how, I hate to use the word realistic, but it was like a realistic take on Batman. Like, you can't be this super involved billionaire playboy and be out like 6 hours a night beating guys up and being an inventor and all this other stuff that you see in some other Batman properties. So it was like he pretty much dedicated himself to just being Batman.
Yeah.
So he was pale and pasty and had like the eye makeup on all the time and the black grease paint or whatever.
True. Yeah.
And it wasn't like he was just diving into, I mean, he got shot with machine guns at point blank range, but but for the most part, he wasn't just jumping in a room and just knocking out like 40 guys in 5 seconds or whatever.
No, the brawls, he struggled. I mean, he ended up winning all of them most of the time, but it was a fight, you know. Yeah, he wasn't. It's interesting because this is definitely a different Batman, because I feel like he's not like, because like Batman from the comics is like trained in every martial arts form you can think of.
Right, he's like a super ninja.
Yeah, and this Batman, he's kind of a brawler, I guess.
They talked about Alfred teaching him how to fight, but you never really heard of anything else. Like, he didn't go to some prison in Eastern Europe or something and practice beating people up or something like that.
With Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they didn't. There's that. And then another thing I didn't really like about him is, like, the first, like, big brawl, like, when, like, they reveal Batman, him just like slowly walking with that annoying clang every time he walks. I'm like, that's not very Batman like.
That's not very stealthy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Batman would be up in the rafters taking them out one by one.
Yeah.
And then his, like you said, I respect that they went more realistic. So, like, he wasn't like this, like, playboy billionaire. He was very, like, introverted, quiet, sad.
Yeah.
Human being.
I can't believe they came up with another Catwoman. How many is that now? Like 8?
We're up there for sure. Yeah. I feel like every new Batman, there's a new Catwoman.
Which is fine. I mean, if he's going to have a love interest, it should be someone who's kind of damaged and likes to go around at night and stuff.
Yeah.
So. Versus a Vicky Vale from the first Keaton movie.
True. I didn't mind Catwoman that much in this, though. She wasn't terrible. There were a few things here and there where I just got a little annoyed with her. But other than that, I thought Zoe Kravitz did a pretty all right job.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as some of the stuff from Birds of Prey. The movie, not the TV show. Where it was just in your face. Like, we hate men, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was more...
See, that's weird, because I didn't really get that vibe from Birds of Prey, to be honest with you.
Okay, maybe I need to watch it again.
Like, I know that's, like, a big, big thing everyone talked about. And I could... Maybe I'm just not seeing it. And like I said, I haven't watched Birds of Prey in probably 2 years now. But, like, I don't know. It might be there. My memory's crap.
Or would they call it, change the title to Harley Quinn's...
The first title was, like, Harley Quinn's Emancipation something, 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 Birds of Prey. And then they just changed it to Birds of Prey.
Okay.
Because, like, it was such a ridiculous title of a movie.
But I don't have a whole lot else. There was some cool stuff in it.
I mean, it's one of those movies where, like, it's a very atmosphere filled movie.
Yeah.
You see Gotham on a whole other level in this one. Like, you see it more through, like you go to more, like, crime lord locations and stuff like that, which is cool. I like that, you know. You do some exploring and you're not spending most of the movie in the Batcave or, like...
Now, it did do a thing that I don't like in a lot of Batman properties is they talk a lot about Falcone and Maroni.
Yeah.
But to me, they're like interchangeable. So when they start talking about, oh, Maroni did this and Falcone did that, like I have a hard time keeping track. I need like a roadmap or something to explain who's who.
Yeah, because like there's not very many, like, I want to say the biggest name villain in this movie was Riddler and Penguin. Penguin, that's the one we got to talk about.
Dude, right.
Colin Farrell. He's probably the best part of the movie.
I forgot that was Colin Farrell when I watched it.
With all that makeup on?
Yeah, dude, I was like, who is this guy?
He did great. There's supposed to be a Penguin show coming out. I don't know when.
Okay.
I don't know if it was canned, because when the CEO of Discovery bought HBO or Warner Brothers or whatever it was, he canceled so much stuff.
Oh, like the Supergirl TV show? And
yeah, the Batgirl movie's never going to see the light of day. All this stuff was canned, so I wonder if that was one of the things they canceled.
Well, when the Flash movie makes like $3 billion, they'll bring it all back, I'm sure, so...
I don't know if it's going to make a whole lot of money. I don't think it's going to be very good.
I was being sarcastic, sorry.
No, I gotcha. It's okay. I'm going to go see it, but like just like watching like a movie with Ezra Miller is just going to be gross, because that dude sucks.
Yeah, he's annoying.
He's very annoying, and I hate it, because like he was really good in the Snyder Cut as Flash.
Right.
And then it turns out that he's just some disgusting human being. And I find it funny now that James Gunn's taken over like the DC, like he's like the Kevin Feige of DC now.
Right.
That they fired everybody but Ezra Miller. Like, what's going on there?
Yeah, I don't know. That might be like a contract negotiating technique or something.
Maybe, but it's just like, come on. There's like video. There's video out there of him beating up fans.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude. And then Henry Cavill, he got his hopes up because they rehired him for Superman, and then like 2 months later, they fired him again.
And then they asked him to be in Shazam or something, or Black Adam, or I don't remember.
Yeah, he was in the end credits scene for Black Adam, and they were hinting at a Black Adam Superman fight.
And he's like, I'm back as Superman. They're like, no, you're fired again.
Yeah, they're like, just kidding. Bye.
Yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with Black Adam not making any money. And it's just like, well, I attempted Black Adam, but I didn't finish it.
Yeah, I didn't even start it.
I think I got 20 minutes in and I was like, yeah, I'm done.
Usually with movies, I see the trailer and I don't want to see it. But Black Adam, I wanted to see it from the trailer because it had like Hawkman and some other stuff in it. Yeah,
Dr. Fate.
Yeah.
All these. It had their version of Ant-Man. What's his name?
The Adam.
All the characters and everything in the movie, you think it'd be cool, but then like I'm watching it. And they're trying to hype. So the whole point, like they were advertising Black Adam as like, oh, he's not a superhero, he's the villain, right?
Right.
But then like the first 10 minutes, they're trying to justify Black Adam as a superhero who like liberated his people. Like apparently they were slaves or something, and he activated some ancient power. It's very Shazam-ish.
Right.
And he activated the power and freed his people. And then I guess later on in life, he just abused his powers and became a bad guy. But right. I didn't even make it to The Rock actually showing up in the movie. I quit watching it before he even showed up. I was sad. I'm done. It just wasn't good. I was like, this is stupid. This is pointless. I'm tired of bad guys being turned into good guys.
So in the Batman, they did have some funny gags that weren't like over the top funny gags. Like when the Penguin, when they captured him and they took him somewhere and they were like, you're the rat or whatever. And he's like, no, it's so-and-so. And then they leave him, like Gordon and Batman leave him there.
Oh, tied up, right?
But his legs are tied up. So he starts waddling like a penguin to get out of there. That was funny.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like over the top, like Tommy Lee Jones, Two-Face over the top. It's just very subtle, like, haha, he's the penguin and he's walking like a penguin. So
I liked him a lot in the movie. But yeah, the whole, like, you know, Spicone Falcone thing, it's just like, yeah, it, like, they get confusing, especially if, like, you don't know a whole lot of the Batman, like, underground, like, mob lore. Which right. is weird, because I feel like Falcone's mentioned in every, like, iteration of Batman that's been on screen.
Yeah, it feels like it.
Right? Yeah. Except, maybe not Batman v Superman, though, with Ben Affleck.
I think you're right.
Unless he's brought up in the Flash movie, because I guess Ben Affleck is in it. He's in the trailer, so. I still forget that Flash movie is supposed to be Flashpoint, and it's going to be so disappointing because right. the actual Flashpoint story is great.
I watched the trailers. I'm like, they've already done this with the Flash TV show and, like, animated movies. Like, yeah. it's a great story, but we've kind of already seen this played out, so we kind of all know that he's not supposed to change anything in the past because it's going to mess everything up, and he has to go back and unchange the past.
He has to go back and watch his mom die again.
Right, so it's kind of like, we already know the climax of the movie and how it's going to end, so why are we watching this? Yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
Yeah, that's all I have for Batman 2. Like I said, there's not a whole lot to talk about it. It's good. It's just, it's very atmosphere filled, and, like, there's a plot, there's a story. It's your generic thriller story, you know, or detective thriller story.
Yeah.
You know, we got to stop the murder, the serial killer from killing again. Very more on the realistic side. There's not a lot, you know. It's good to see a Batman movie again where they're not fighting aliens or anything, you know, ridiculous.
Or an Arnold Mr. Freeze or something.
Yeah, yeah, it's very ground level.
Chill out.
Yeah, chill out. How did the dinosaurs die? The Ice Age, or whatever that stupid joke yeah. was. Yeah, the stupid part. Oof. Oh, I love him, though. He's the best part of that movie.
Yeah, that's not saying much.
No, it's not. Well, since we talked about a superhero movie we liked, do you want to just go into a superhero movie we both probably hated?
Sure.
You want to go into Thor: Love and Thunder?
Yeah.
Dude, this movie was trash. It was the first, I want to say, like, the first half hour wasn't terrible, like, with the Guardians and everything, but, like, as soon as they leave, the movie just goes downhill.
Yeah. Like, They introduce a whole bunch of new stuff Thor can do, and everyone's like, oh wow, this is so great, they're introducing all these new powers, like being able to transfer lightning powers to children.
Yeah, like, where was this power when you're fighting Thanos? You could have given it to the Wakandan people, you know?
Yeah.
Or something. Not just that, but Stormbreaker somehow goes from being a blueprint weapon that was made to kill Thanos into this, like, key to open up a portal to the universe to some god that can grant you one wish to right. stop anything. And it's like, where was this while fighting Thanos? There was only one outcome to win, and that was, you know, Tony sacrificing himself to stop him. But then you have this story plot where it's like, why didn't you guys just go do this? It would have saved everybody's lives.
Yeah. And the CGI muscles on Natalie Portman. And
yeah. You know, I got to say, though, I enjoyed Natalie Portman in the movie. I don't think she was annoying or as bad as she was in the previous Thors.
And spoiler alert, I guess we're spoiling all these movies, but they're all at least like 3 to 15 months old, so.
Yeah, they're pretty old now.
I did like how Mjolnir, like, kind of went up part in pieces when she threw it and stuff. Didn't it, like, break apart? Because Hela shattered it or whatever?
Yeah, she broke it in Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thor, like, threw it at her and she grabbed it and they were like, oh my god, and then she, like, crapped on the hammer because I guess she wielded the hammer at one point in time and then she just, like, crushed it or whatever.
Yeah, and I did like how a lot of these Marvel properties, they're replacing everybody with, like, skinny little girls that are better than everybody else. Like, some chick in an apartment smarter than Iron Man and builds a suit. And
Ironheart or,
like,
whatever.
Black Panther is his sister now, and Hawkeye's getting replaced by, like, a 20-year-old girl. And So when I saw that Thor was going to be a girl, I was like, oh God, like, are all the Avengers going to be girls now? Like, but then she dies. So, so that was kind of nice. It wasn't switched around where like, boy Thor gets cancer and dies, and then girl Thor is Thor. It was kind of a one-off. Mm-hmm. And, Helmsworth is still Thor at the end, so.
Yeah, but I think he's done now. I think he's
probably
because it's more of a, what is it? He's showing early signs of dementia or something that. So he's going and getting that checked out instead of dealing with stupid Marvel movies.
Plus, it'd be weird to have like Chris Evans or something in one of these movies without all the other guys. Like Mark Ruffalo will keep doing it.
Of course he will.
Yeah, he'll do anything. But yeah, it's time to either reboot or just get new characters or something.
Yeah, well, then I think that's what they're doing. I think they're slowly phasing out everybody from Endgame era Avengers and stuff like that.
Like Paul Rudd will probably still be around.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. I don't know, dude. I heard this new, the most recent Ant-Man movie was not good.
No, it's not.
And is anybody surprised, though?
Like his daughter, same thing. Like she turns out to be a super smart person that can invent crazy stuff.
And she becomes female Ant-Man and then just shits on everything, like always.
Right.
Like, I hate, you know, the same thing. I hate men, blah, 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 or something else along those lines is what someone told me. And it's just like
a bunch of activism stuff. Like,
that's this, the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that ticks me off about that movie. So the, Hank Pym's wife, I don't remember the character's name. You know, she's like, you built what to talk to people in the quantum realm? You can't do that. That's dangerous. But at the end of Ant-Man 2, she's helping them build a portal to go to the quantum realm.
Yeah.
Like, what? Can you guys not remember your own story plots?
And then, like, Bill Murray is down there.
Why is Bill Murray had
a relationship with him. Michelle Pfeiffer did when she was down there for 30 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But I thought time moved differently. I don't know.
I thought it was slower, right? It's supposed to be extremely slower.
Because some ants go down and they were time moves so fast that they built, like, this super advanced civilization. But then she went down and stayed in real time, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know either.
And then I think Ant-Man came back after 5 years, and it seemed like he just left, like, after the blip or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But where was I going with that? So she knows all this stuff that's down there, like Kang and everything. But she doesn't tell him when they go in the quantum realms, like this big secret.
Yeah.
It's like, exactly. Why don't you tell your family, like, what's going on before you go in there? Or once you're in there, like, okay, now, like, this is the power structure. There's this guy over here and this guy. And yeah. Or maybe she had a relationship with Kang. I don't remember. It sucked. So.
Did you see it?
No. I watched parts of it.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't. Yeah.
I heard some people talking about it, so.
I might watch it when it hits the streaming, but I just I didn't check out Wakanda Forever. Like, nothing against people who like that movie, it just didn't look good, so I didn't watch it. I'm just tired of them changing characters for no reason. Well, I guess they had to change Namor in that movie because some other studio actually owns the rights to the like design or something like that.
Okay, kind of like a Spider-Man.
Yeah, so thing, that's why they turned him into like. Underground, like underwater Aztecs instead of Atlanteans. Or
I'm just surprised they did like the green booty shorts and the wings on his ankles, and like they stuck kind of true to the comic look of him and his powers.
Somewhat, yeah.
I thought he'd just be Aquaman. I mean, he is kind of just Aquaman.
Yeah, he's an Aquaman.
Or vice versa. Or he was around first, but.
But Aquaman's more popular than he is at this point.
Yeah.
Anyways. Back on track to love. See, we don't even want to talk about Love and Thunder. That's how crappy this movie was. It was terrible writing. Just everything sucked. The jokes. Thor became such a joke in his own self. Like, it was embarrassing. Like, I get why Chris Hemsworth, like, hates working with Taika Waititi now. Like, I get it 100%.
So, a lot of the more recent, like, Phase 4 stuff, They introduce all these new like sets of gods. Like there's the Egyptian gods in Moon Knight. There's the genie in the Miss Marvel show. There's like the Eternals and the Deviants. Like they keep introducing all these secret societies of like super powerful beings. Mm-hmm. It would have been a better movie if Christian Bale's went around killing a bunch of those guys. Like show him like killing a bunch of gods.
Yeah.
Like that should have been most of the movie. Like, holy crap, there's this guy going around with a sword, like chopping people up and killing Greek gods, Roman gods, whatever, Norse gods. And then it would have meant something, but it didn't really play on that very much. So
no, they didn't. He kills the one guy as soon as he gets the sword, and then you kind of see a couple others he's already murdered throughout the movie.
Right.
But like you never really witness him actually like killing a god, right? I don't think so. No, and dude, I feel bad for Christian Bale. That guy like poured his everything into that role.
Yeah, like he does everything, but yeah.
And he'll have this like epic, heartfelt like villain speech, and then Thor will like fart.
Yeah. And shake his beer gut or something.
Yeah, and it's just like And I hear they changed his character a lot, too, from the comic. I guess in the comic, he looks more alien.
Yeah.
And in this one, they just painted Christian Bale white. And then put, like, black around his eyes and gave him pointy teeth. Because pointy is scary.
So we could talk about a couple remakes, if you want.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay. One of them, it's... Well, I mean, when I say remake, I don't know what the right term is. Requel or legacy sequel or whatever, but Prey.
What'd you think of Prey?
It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Same.
And I was kind of shocked because isn't this like a Disney property now?
Yeah, it is. It's hands down the most violent Predator movie.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, there's some stuff you can nitpick about.
There's a lot to nitpick in
the location of her tribe. Like, they were a southern tribe and not a northern tribe. But that's no big deal. I mean, they just wrote down northern plains or whatever. It didn't really take away from the story. Or, like, how the Buffalo massacres were a little too early in history. But this is a different timeline where, like, aliens exist.
Yeah, exactly.
So I gave it that. Like, this isn't, like, our timeline exactly. It's, like, the Predator franchise timeline. So
yeah. My biggest gripe with it was the redesign of the Predator. I thought it was not good.
He was smaller, right?
A little smaller. More had he had more of an athletic build.
Right.
Yeah, he was smaller. I love the mask. The skull mask was cool, but the new head and face to me was just ugh. It was ugly. He looked more like a generic alien than he did an actual like predator. You know what I mean?
Right.
But like, yeah, it's fine. He doesn't. I mean, you don't really see the face till like the very end anyways, and even then I feel like the dude had his mask on most of the time, so it's not a big deal. But I just don't understand why you want to redesign. But then like the director was trying to say like, well, it's a different species of predator, and I was like, yeah, there's the cop out because everyone hated it, so now we gotta
right. They've been kind of doing that the last couple predator movies, like there's super predators and there's super predators.
I'll take the prey predator over the super predator any day.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was terrible. Oh hi.
He just got attacked by a cat.
Hi. You want to join the podcast?
But a lot of these Lego sequels or whatever you want to call them, they just rehash the old movie, right? Like beat for beat.
Yeah.
And this one, they threw in a couple of things like if it bleeds, you can kill it, which is fine. That's something you could hear someone saying in a hunter society.
As long as nobody says get to the choppers and points to actual motorcycles.
I can't believe the French guys didn't have a thing where there's a bunch of guys with axes and someone points over there and says, get to the choppers.
That's too smart for that movie.
But like when she gets in the mud, you're like, oh, God, she's just going to do the Arnold thing where it can't see her. But no, that's not what they did. It was more about trying to get him into the quicksand so he gets stuck kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think. It's been a while since I watched it, but it wasn't like scene for scene like the Arnold movie.
No.
Which was nice. No.
Not at all. Her, like, getting ready, I feel like that was kind of a similar montage to Arnold's.
Right.
A little bit. But I feel like that's more of, like, a callback and not, like, trying to, like, recreate it. I will say this, though. She would have been destroyed by that thing.
Well, yeah.
Like, wrecked. And she somehow beats it.
If she was built, like, what's that girl's name? Gina Gerino? Or...
Oh, the one who was fired from The Mandalorian.
Yeah, if she looked like her, it would be more believable that she could go toe-to-toe with it for a second. But
it also, you know, I'll say this. They did use her size and the advantage, too. She's more agile, so she's faster
than the Predator. She's squeezing through tight places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll give it that. But, like, just the way, like, it went through, like, her brother's, like, tribe of friends.
Right.
It killed, like, five guys within, like, 30 seconds, you know? And then it's just struggling to kill her. It killed how many white Frenchmen? Yes, we'll throw that out there. This movie got slightly political by trying to say white men are bad. It's in the movie, but it's not like thrown directly into your face. It's just, you know, you get to the Native American tribe, they're all clean looking and, you know, stuff like that, upped up, kept, you know, they all got nice teeth. Then you get to the French tribe, they're all disgusting. You know, black rotten teeth, stuff like that. Just gross people.
Right. And maybe that's why they pushed it back chronologically a little bit. Because it took place like in the 1780s or...
I think it was earlier than that. I think the date on the pistol, I want to say 1715. But takes place a few years after that. I think it's like 1718, 1719, somewhere around there.
Like some of the stuff, like the Buffalo thing I was talking about, like a lot of that didn't happen until like the 18-somethings.
Yeah, like way later.
So they went like 100 years earlier than that. But maybe that kind of fits with the whole white person thing because that was pretty early on with people going out into the West.
Yeah, for sure.
So they were certainly more of like a invaders. And like, I forget what the other term would be, but they were definitely encroaching on the
Comanches, pillagers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus like, if it was like the 1880s, like you already had a bunch of treaties and like people who could speak their language and, a bunch of other stuff going on. So maybe that's why they chose to go back. Oh, plus they were tied to the pistol.
Yeah. Which in my opinion, they did a really bad job with that.
Because the pistol was that was like 94, the Predator 2 or
Predator 2 came out in 1990, but the year it takes place in I think is 97. It was a little in the future. Yeah, a little bit in the future.
The voodoo Jamaican gangs are taking over LA. Yeah.
Fucking voodoo magic, man. King Willy, the other side.
The same cinematic universe is Marked for Death or whatever that Steven Seagal movie was with the same bad guys in it.
So here's my gripe, though, with the pistol. So there's a comic that came out with a story about that pistol. And the Predator got the pistol from a pirate. They ended up fighting with each other against, other pirates or something like that. Yeah. And they teamed up and the pirate ended up dying in the fight, but the Predator lived, like the one time the Predator actually survives in one of these stories.
Okay.
And the man gave the pistol to the Predator as like a trophy or whatever, you know.
Right. Or you're my buddy, here's my...
Yeah, and then in this movie, it was just a stupid Frenchman who got stepped on by the Predator.
Right.
And the girl took the pistol. Like, that was it. That was the lore of the pistol in this movie.
Yeah.
It was like, what was the point of even having it, to be honest?
Well, that's what they wrote the whole movie around, so...
I know. It would have... I don't know. I think it could have worked better without the pistol.
But it was kind of... I thought it was going to take a different turn, because there's a lot of, like, novels and stuff about, like, a girl that becomes a predator.
Yeah, the one that's actually raised by them or whatever. Girl from, like, the 20s
or 40s or something. So there's a couple of different lore about like some girl who joins the Predators and becomes one, and she gets a mask and everything. So I thought that's where they were going with this, is like she was going to team up with him.
Yeah.
And get on the ship with him at the end or something.
But nope.
Nope.
We don't even see any other Predators show up.
You do in the cartoons and the end credits. There's like the tribe goes out and there's some Predators on a ship, and I think they give them the pistol, and then yeah, it's like why'd they give them the pistol if I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like there was some continuity errors with the pistol in the end of the movie. So
yeah, exactly. It just it's like you should have just made it without the pistol, to be honest, because now she has the pistol, so what are you trying to say, that more Predators show up and like slaughter the tribe?
Yeah.
And then take the pistol? Yeah, well, so the director's hinted at a sequel, but I don't think it's going to take place in Native American time. He's going to talk about jumping into different times, like time differences when like they show up.
One thing I was pretty disappointed about is everyone was talking about how the actors recorded it in English and then they recorded it in Comanche. Or maybe I'm getting the tribe wrong, but I think it was Comanche.
Yeah.
Cherokee?
I think it was Cherokee. I don't know. It's one of some, if we have any Native American listeners, we apologize.
Yeah.
We don't mean
they should have been Sioux
to offend
from the geographical location they were at. But anyway. So I watched the Cherokee cut. It's just a dub.
It's just a dub.
Yeah, they didn't even have the Comanche actors speak in Comanche. It was just a dub.
Oh.
I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was really cool. Everyone was just dumping praise on it. Like, this is so cool. They treated all these people right and made all these people learn Comanche. And
then they didn't even record it. I mean, they did, but it was just redubbed audio. Over. That's weak. That's nothing to praise about.
Yeah. But there were some good performances by people who haven't really acted before.
Oh, for sure.
Like her brother.
He did great.
Yeah.
He was really good in the movie.
So that was fun.
She was good, too. Like, you know, she wasn't very Mary Sue. She struggled, you know.
Right.
It was, they got it right to where it was like, you're a woman, shut up, you shouldn't be doing this. Like, you're lucky that they even let you out. You know, you should be in the village making food or whatever.
To the point where one of the guys, like, punches her because
she beats
won't
her up.
Listen and come back. So... not that that's great that he's beating on a girl, but from a historical perspective, like a cultural perspective, like a lot of times when you have these period pieces, there'll be a woman who's like so out of depth where she's supposed to be in society.
Like Mulan.
Yeah. Or I can't think of another one. The armor maker in Knight's Tale, maybe.
Yeah.
But usually there's no pushback. She's just like, I'm independent. I can do whatever I want. And that's what this girl was saying, but they're like, no, you need to get back into your place or whatever, to the point where they were beating her up. But she still proved that she could do it.
Yeah. Well, and what I love too is like, you know, she definitely had a big ego and she tries to go off on her own several times to do stuff and like ends up not being able to do what she wanted to do. And someone has to come bail her out.
Right.
Which is what I like too. You know,
it's like a character arc.
Yeah, she wasn't a Mary Sue. She wasn't a Rey from Star Wars that could do anything and everything and make a choice. This girl struggled. She almost dies in the quicksand. She barely makes it out of the quicksand.
Right.
Which was cool.
And she almost gets killed by the cougar or the whatever.
The bear. The bear, right?
And the bear. But there's also a mountain lion. She went to go hunt and it almost got her.
That's right. And
her brother stabbed it.
Yeah, her brother got it because it ended up killing one of the tribe people.
Yeah.
I remember, right? It took him away or whatever and ate him. Yeah, dude, that fight between the bear and the predator was so violent and brutal.
That was cool.
Like, it was cool to see the bear actually like get a move on the predator.
Yeah,
and like actually like make it bleed.
I've been watching bears fight on YouTube for some reason.
Dude, they're scary.
They're terrifying.
Two
grizzlies going at it. It's like, whoa. So, yeah, they captured that pretty good with the predator, I thought.
2,000-plus-pound animals just tearing each other up. Yeah. Yeah, man. Prey was – I would – out of, like, on a scale of, like, 1 to 10, I would give it, like, a solid, like, 6.5.
Yeah.
because it was, like you said, I wasn't expecting this movie to be good whatsoever.
Right, especially from the trailer. It kept showing, like, I'm a girl. I can do whatever I want.
But then it was a fun movie. I had a good time.
But she actually, like, earned it.
She did.
So I liked that.
All right, so what's the other legacy sequel
thing you want to talk about? Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, my God. That movie was my favorite movie of last year, hands down.
Oh, yeah?
Top Gun Maverick, because it was a movie. It was a good blockbuster movie. Like, we haven't had one of those in I don't know how long.
I agree. Tom Cruise is like the last action hero right now, which is sad, but...
Yeah, well, it's like it wasn't forcing a message down our throats. It wasn't trying to make us hate a race. It was just, hey, you're training these new pilots to do this impossible mission. Good luck.
Right.
Like, you know, it was fun. Yeah, he was great. It was cool seeing him come back again as Maverick. I enjoyed the story between him and Miles Teller, Goose's son. I thought that was very well done.
Right.
Val Kilmer's scene, yes, he's only in one scene in the movie, was pretty well done for what they could
with
Val Kilmer's condition he's in at the moment.
Right. I thought that was a pretty good tribute to him.
Yeah. I thought it was really good.
It was kind of like in Cobra Kai when they brought back one of the Johnny's buddies who's dying of cancer in real life, and they took him out because he's dying of cancer in the show, and then he dies in the show, and then he dies in real life.
Yeah.
But that was a really nice tribute, like, hey, you were part of this too. We're going to incorporate you into this story.
Exactly.
And that was pretty moving.
I forgot to put Cobra Kai.
Oh, so did I.
I forgot that the fifth season came out last year.
Yeah.
So we'll have to add that on there too.
So yeah. So before I watched it, I was going to watch the first one, Top Gun. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to run through my head, like, what I remember. I mean, I've seen it like 10 times or whatever, but in my mind, like, Tom Cruise wins the Top Gun prize. And, Iceman was just a jerk and Tom Cruise really was the best, but then you watch the movie and Iceman's like actually the kind of the hero of the movie.
Yeah.
Cause Tom Cruise keeps like breaking the rules and getting people hurt and ends up getting Goose killed, even though it was like a mechanical failure, but he was in a place that he wasn't supposed to be doing stuff he wasn't supposed to do. While Iceman's like totally kicking butt. And then like in the climax of the movie, Iceman's got like 5 or 6 MIGs on him and he's totally like, all he can do is stop himself from getting shot, but he's doing all these kind of maneuvers and stuff, keeping alive with these 5 MIGs on him or whatever. It's like, wow, Iceman really is the best pilot of this group.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Maverick's like, I don't know if I can fly again. And then he goes and shoots down a couple of those guys that were on Iceman, and like, he's the hero, but he got second place. He didn't win the Top Gun thing. Like, Iceman got it.
Yeah.
And when I was watching the trailers for Maverick, I was like, because they made it sound like he was an instructor at Top Gun this whole time.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like from the trailers.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, God, that's all he did with his life. But in the movie, the original, that he says, I want to be an instructor at Top Gun. So it fit with the character.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun, the first one and the second one. Because, again, the trailer, I didn't want to watch this movie because it's like, oh, here's Tom Cruise. He's got the same sunglasses, the same leather jacket, the same motorcycle. He's still like, woohoo, I'm racing a jet on the tarmac or whatever. Just didn't seem like it went anywhere. Like, he hasn't been doing anything for the last 30 years or whatever. But it was way better than the trailer.
Yeah, well, because then you realize in the trailer, that's just like the opening of
the movie. So kudos to them for not showing the entire film.
Yeah.
In the trailer, like they do with like the Jurassic World movies and stuff.
That we'll talk about that after this.
Okay.
It's like it felt like it was the first movie, but just done way better too.
Yeah.
It was almost the same story. Like almost. There's differences, but not a lot of differences.
Although you do have to agree, the film is basically like the third act of the original Star Wars with the trench run.
Oh, 100%.
Like, exhaust port, and they have to hit it, and then the targeting computer doesn't work, so Rooster has to do it by using the Force or something, and or his dead dad was Obi-Wan basically, like, saying, like, use the Force, Rooster.
Yeah. new characters that I actually liked.
Yeah.
The new Iceman, such a cocky asshole, but yeah, he was great. Yeah. He saved, you know, and again, he saved the day at the end of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It was a very fun movie. And then just, like, watching that and just, like, knowing that a lot of those snow scenes was Lake Cochise, too.
Yeah. And if people don't know, that's where I used to live for, like, 2 years. And we'd have Navy jets flying over all the time. So it was really cool that they filmed the whole trench run was done over the lake that we went to. So, mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. Yeah. I liked, you know how Tom Cruise gets really into character sometimes?
Very into character.
Technical stuff, like gun discipline. Like people talk about his amazing gun discipline in like that movie with Jamie Foxx or whatever, where he's a hitman.
Is that the one that you tried watching?
Collateral? Yeah, I still haven't watched the last act yet.
Yeah.
But anyway, when he's doing the 90 degree turns in the canyons and he's like grunting and stuff, I just couldn't help but think, like, because Top Gun is like the number one Navy pilot movie from the 80s. I mean, the Navy worked with them and everything.
Yeah.
So I could just see, like, for the last 30, 40 years, like, people coming up to Tom Cruise all the time and saying, this is what you got right or this is what you got wrong. Like, just out of the blue, like, Navy airmen walking up to him and saying stuff about his depiction in the cockpit and stuff. So when he's, like, jerking the stick and he's, like, grunting, like, ugh. I was thinking, like, some Navy guy walked up and said, like, when you do like 3G turns or whatever, this is what it's like, and he really incorporated that into the performance. So
yeah,
I thought that was pretty good, instead of just like a Harrison Ford's like Han Solo, like yahoo, like
yeah, exactly. Well, another thing too is I heard that a lot of the scenes too, like I think he did fly the jets, but not like in the crazy like trench scenes and like that.
Right.
Like I think he's in the jet, but he's like in the seat that doesn't do the driving or whatever. And so maybe like the reason why he was grunting like that is because it was actually like the G-forces were actually messing with him.
Like it's like a trainer plane with guys in it. And then the guy actually flying it was like jerking the stick around. And so he was actually like grunting.
Yeah.
He was actually flipping around in the air. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. That would be pretty cool.
I heard that's what they did a lot for this movie, for filming it. Cause like, and that's another thing, dude, let's give it up for a movie that was released in 2022 that used very minimal CGI.
Yeah. That was shocking.
Very shocking. Because I know Tom Cruise back in the day said the only way he would do Top Gun 2 is if they were in real jets and it wasn't CGI.
Okay. Like the stealth movie with Jessica Biel or whatever.
Exactly, yeah. Or any other plane movie that's come out in the last like 15 years.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, no, Top Gun Maverick was a good treat. It was a good callback and it makes me miss how movies once were.
Yeah. It was fun. It wasn't over the top.
It was very over the top.
I mean, like, in terms of, like, we have to stop this plant because it's going to cause climate change and hurt indigenous people. And
yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, there's no, the message is not shoved down our throats.
Right, it was just like, hey, guys, you got a mission. We just got to blow this thing up, and it's almost impossible, so we need to practice doing this. And
true.
Yeah,
I will say when the one lady pilot showed up, I was like, oh no, here we go. But then they didn't do anything with her with that, and I was like, oh, thank goodness.
Yeah,
I just like, I'm just waiting for her to outmaneuver Tom Cruise and her be the new Maverick, you know.
Right.
I was waiting for it, and then it never happened. I was like, hallelujah.
And her name's Maverika or something. So was the teenage girl Tom Cruise's daughter with Jennifer Connelly?
I think so. I think that's what they were hinting at,
because it didn't really touch on it, so I wasn't sure why that was in the movie if it wasn't gonna be like,
because Jennifer Connelly was like a brand new character too. She wasn't in the first Top Gun, right?
Like, I don't think Kelly McGillis, is she dead? Or
she's not dead, but she's
not doing great.
She's not looking like she's she's, what's the best way to put this? She has let herself go.
Okay.
She didn't age. Oh no, I got it better. She didn't age as well as Tom Cruise.
Okay.
I guess is the better That's way to fair. Put it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I was like, who's this character? But yeah. So people that don't like this movie, all I ever hear is he was going Mach 10 and his plane would disintegrate and he'd be dead, but he just walks into the bar. But we don't know about the plane. Like maybe it had like this amazing life pod built in the cockpit.
Exactly.
And we don't see exactly the plane breaking apart like while he's in it. So maybe he had time to slow it down and then get out. Like
it's designed, I think, to handle Mach 10. That's why it looks so goofy.
Right. Because Neil deGrasse Tyson, he has to like weigh in on everything. Like, oh he would have died. That's impossible.
Coming from the guy who's not even a real scientist
right.
when you find out, you know? Like, how sad is that?
Yeah. It's like Dr. Phil.
Yeah, not a real doctor. All those TV doctors.
Dr. Jill, Dr. Phil, yeah.
Dr. Oz.
Yeah. Although he was a heart surgeon or something, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Okay. He was Dr. Stephen Strange.
Yeah. My hands, my beautiful hands.
My hands. Oh. All right. You got anything else you want to add to Top Gun?
No.
Me either. What's another one we want to talk about here? Something short because we're at 51 minutes. So.
Okay. You want me to talk about The Glass Onion?
Yeah. I didn't watch it.
Okay. So we both really like Knives Out, right?
Great movie.
Yeah. So Rian Johnson isn't involved with this one, at least to my knowledge. Maybe he wrote it or something. I don't think he
really.
I don't think he directed it.
I think he. No, I think he did.
Oh gosh, if he did, well, then
keep talking. I'm IMDb-ing it right now.
So I really liked Daniel Craig's character in Knives Out. Like it was just fun. His accent was goofy, and there's lots of twists and turns. And
oh yeah, so he wrote and directed it.
Oh wow, that's embarrassing then.
So I know, so I saw, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. I'll make it quick. I know he was really mad at Netflix for adding a Knives Out mystery into the title. It was supposed to just be Glass Onion.
Okay. Cause it had the same character from,
Daniel Craig's character, right? Yeah. But that's it though, right? No one else came back from the first movie.
But it was not good.
That's what I heard. I heard it's really goofy. Like it pulled a Thor 4.
Yeah. Like there was probably 8 or 10 things in the movie that had to happen. Like coincidences for like the story to continue.
Mm-hmm.
Like Edward Norton shoots the girl through a window, but it hits like a book she has in her pocket. Like how could that, but that's really integral to the plot. But he was trying to kill her. And then like Daniel Craig squirts some hot sauce on her to make it look like blood. And, but yeah, it was stupid. Just like, she's the twin sister of this girl that died that Edward Norton killed. So why would he like let this detective on his island when he knows he already killed the girl? Like, I don't know. There's just a lot of bad stuff in it. And of course, what's his face? The guy from Army of the Dead, Batista.
Oh yeah,
he just ruins everything he's in. If you ask me, he was good as the guy in Guardians, but only because he's playing a dumb, strong oaf, you know,
a big dumb brute.
Yeah,
that's funny because Batista like hates when people like bring up Drax. Like he's become that guy. He's like, oh, I hate it.
Yeah, Drax is his only good character. And maybe the guy in the James Bond movie, like his first movie that he did.
Because he has no lines.
Right.
And then Daniel Craig just kills, he kicks him out of the train, right? Inspector?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So Batista was actually in a lot of movies before then. It just, they were like WWE made movies and stuff like that. My dad watched one when he was like a bouncer at a club or something like that.
Because I saw Stuber and I hated that.
Oh, dude, Stuber looked terrible.
I saw the one where he plays a spy, but some little girls helping him. That was terrible.
He was. I thought he did all right in Blade Runner 2049, but he's only in the movie for like 5 minutes.
I don't remember him in that.
Exactly. Ryan Gosling kills him at like the beginning of the movie. He goes to like ask him questions, and then he ends up being a replicant, so he shoots him and kills him.
So yeah, I was pretty disappointed with the movie because they were talking it up like, oh, here's another really great like mystery with all these twists. But this wasn't really any twist. It was just stupid things happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, yeah, they would show, like, Daniel Craig sneaking through the bushes, but then they'd show, like, a flashback where the girl was behind him the whole time, but she wasn't when they shot it. Like, yeah, it was dumb. So I don't recommend it.
Yeah, I didn't. When I watched the trailer, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to watch this one. I might skip it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm with you, dude. Knives Out was fantastic. Like, Rian Johnson makes good movies, just not good Star Wars movies.
Yeah. So I'm kind of surprised he directed this one, because the first one was just so much fun.
Yeah.
With all the crazy family members and...
Yeah, in each family, yeah. It was a good cast in the first one, too. Saul, everybody was great. But I have to say, and if you still haven't seen Knives Out, spoilers, I guess, at this point, but... We all saw Chris Evans as the villain, right? Like, I saw that from the very beginning.
Yeah, before and they're like, no, he's not. Twist. And they're like, yeah, he is. And then, yeah.
It's like, yeah, he is. You can tell. It's so obvious he was the villain.
Right. Just like Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yeah. So yeah, do you have anything else you want to add to Glass Onion or anything?
Not really.
Okay.
All the performances were pretty terrible, if you ask me. Like, Kate Hudson and...
Overacting
type they of just stuff. Had one note characters like I'm the washed up social media girl.
Gotcha.
And I'm the right wing guy who pops his gun all the time.
Oh, that's like with what was that one Netflix DiCaprio movie we watched about the earth ending, like
Look Up.
Yeah, don't look up or something like that. Yeah, that movie, it's the same, like, that type of character, like, with Ron Perlman as, like, the far-right guy whatever.
Jonah Hill. Like, he was pretty one-note. My dad's Donald Trump or whatever, so.
Yeah, he was the daughter of the president, or the son of the president, who was female.
Right, it was like Glenn Close or
Meryl Streep?
I don't know, one of those older actresses that were in movies.
I will say though, the one thing I did like about that Don't Look Up movie, at least they like made fun of both political sides, and it wasn't just making fun of Republicans.
Right.
So respect to that, but other than that, that movie, I think the biggest issue with that movie was it being like 2.5 hours long.
Right.
Like, I've noticed that trend kind of die down lately. Most movies aren't 2.5 hours.
Speaking of a bloated, overrun movie, do you want to talk about Jurassic Park or World Dominion?
I would love to talk about Jurassic Park Dominion, the movie where the dinosaurs take over the Earth, but they're not in the movie.
So the second one, because the first one was okay. It was like a remake, whatever.
Yeah, they played it safe. You know, they pulled a Force Awakens.
Yeah.
You know, oh, people know this story, so let's just go with that.
And I can't remember what the second one was called.
Fallen Kingdom.
Fallen Kingdom. So I watched that. I think we might have gone to see that movie together.
We might have. It's been a while.
And then it came up on streaming. I'm like, oh, I never saw that. And so I started it, and it was like 40 minutes in. I was like, I've seen this movie, and it was so bad I forgot about it.
Sorry, cat.
Okay.
Cat doing cat things.
But at the end of the movie, there's a little girl who's a clone, and she releases all the dinosaurs into California because she says, I'm alive, so they should be too, or something like that.
I think it was more of I'm a clone and their clones were the same, they need to be free too, or something.
Right.
It was just something stupid and out, just like dumb.
And so that's where the Dominion opens up. It's like several years later.
Yeah, somehow 14 dinosaurs that were released breed into supposedly overpopulating the Earth. With
the entire planet from California. Yeah. Like, there's a T-Rex that's running behind a plane and grabs onto the landing gear, like Arnold in reverse from Commando. It gets into the plane and then dumps out like in France or something. It's like, surprise!
Para drops.
And like everyone's okay with it. Like dinosaurs just doing stuff and no one's like, hey, maybe we should kill that crazy predator that's killing people in the national park or something. Yeah. Yeah.
No. Instead, what do you see? You see video footage of the dinosaurs eating people in public and they're just like, oh, well.
Oh, well, it's their world too.
Yeah, yeah, that literally, that's what it did. Oh, my God. And then...
And that's only like the first 3 minutes, and then they don't really talk about it again for like the rest of the movie.
I swear to God, dude, I feel like all of the scenes that you saw dinosaurs in the trailer, and that's it. Like, those are the scenes in the entire movie. They just took them all and put it into the trailer to be like, look, dinosaurs are everywhere. And then we watch it, and it's like, they're not... in the movie.
I do feel like every time anybody went anywhere, though, there was a dinosaur hiding in the cave or something. Like, everywhere they went.
Yeah, there was always something. They would always
like, pop up. Like, crash on a frozen lake, and there's a dinosaur there, and they...
Yeah,
but like, that's inside, like, the park where they're saving him or whatever, I guess, but...
Yeah, but, like, at the same time, if you notice, it's just one dinosaur, too. Like, when what's her name? Bryce Dallas Howard's character.
Claire? Or?
She hides.
But the redhead?
Yeah, she hides in the water from the big velociraptor bird thing.
Yeah. It's like a furry raptor or something.
Yeah, and then Chris Pratt and black female Han Solo.
Right. Slapped Indiana Jones, which is still Harrison Ford, I guess. But
yeah, female Harrison Ford.
She should just be the new Indy in Indy 5. So,
they run into a red striped raptor that can swim underwater.
Yeah, ice water.
Yeah, something that would.
Kill and then it anyone. Bursts out of the ice like a. Yeah, it was great.
Oh yeah, so great. And then we're introduced to the Holy Trinity from the first Jurassic Park. And boy, do none of them seem interested to be in this movie whatsoever.
They get to Sam O'Neill and he's digging up dinosaur bones. It's like, why?
Yeah.
The Earth's overrun with dinosaurs. Why are you digging up a 100-million-year-old dinosaur bone? Just look out your window. There's right. one walking over there.
He especially, Sam Neill, just seems so confused. Like, he didn't know what was going on in this movie. It was great. Laura Dern just was Laura Dern, and then...
Goldblum.
Goldblum was barely in the movie.
He was in the second one, too, when he was talking to Congress. But when all three of them show up, there's, like, this pause and this music. Like, everyone in the theater is supposed to stand to their feet and clap. Yeah. It's the guy from the first movie, everybody! Yeah.
But it's just like, you just don't care. It takes forever for the new group to meet the old group, too. Because, like, okay, so before we get into that, the new group are trying to stop the dinosaurs from taking over the Earth. The old group is trying to stop locusts from eating all the crops.
So this movie is 2 hours and 40 minutes or something? Just cut all the locust stuff out.
Yeah.
Cut all the clone stuff out. It doesn't make any difference to the story. Just focus on the dinosaurs.
I wish that's what they would have done, but they didn't.
Because the locust thing just doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't go anywhere, and it's stupid.
Not to mention the locusts were made by Tim Cook from Apple.
Yeah.
And you know what I found out too, dude? That actor is supposed to be the guy who gets the Barbasol can in the first Jurassic Park.
Oh, they show it like 3 times. I just watched it like last night.
Like, talk about stretching characters.
Yeah. It's like in Halloween 2018 when the little boy that was walking down the street or something.
Oh, the Halloween Kills.
Or was that? Was that in Halloween Kills?
The second one. Night? Yeah. The little boy in the red jacket. They gave him some stupid background story involving Michael Myers.
Yeah, like everyone's gathering the bar, like, we were minor characters in the first movie. Or ones that aren't even like real characters, we just were there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The nurse that was with Loomis going to the psych ward. She has her own little backstory now. Yeah. And she gets killed. They all die. Spoilers if you haven't seen that.
Yeah, that's how this guy felt in the Jurassic Park movie. Like he's the guy with the barbasol can.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, I get, and apparently that the actual actor from that movie has like rape allegations or something now. So that's why he was recast. They said it's like no one cares. You're bringing back a character with no one even like. I didn't even know.
I just heard Newman say nobody cares when he said that.
Right, no one cares.
I'm giving him dinosaur embryos. Hey, everybody.
At that bar or that restaurant in Hawaii or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. See, no one cares.
Yep.
God, this movie was... You know, it makes me like the second one a lot more. Just because the second one, like, knew how stupid it was. And then it went full... Like, it took full of... Like, the first half of Fallen Kingdom is like a Lost World remake. Then the island burns down, and then it turns into some like a horror movie where they're being chased by a dinosaur in a big mansion.
Right.
Meanwhile, they're trying to sell dinosaurs to like evil James Bond villains.
Right. And apparently there's a lot of those just walking around with millions or billions of dollars that want to weaponize dinosaurs.
I mean, like, they legit, like, if you go back and rewatch that movie, I swear to God, they all got, like, the, with, like, a monocle in their eye, yeah. You know, the long Cruella de Vil cigarette thing, you know.
I can't wait to get raptors with frickin' laser beams on their heads.
Yeah. It's like, where was Dr. Evil at? Yeah. Oh.
And then they do that in this movie. They have, like, laser pointers that the dinosaurs magically right. follow.
That's right. I forgot about that.
She does it, like, behind her back, and, yeah, it's stupid.
Dude, and let's not forget they completely changed the story of how the dinosaurs were made.
Yeah.
The clone girl's mom made the dinosaurs, not Hammond.
Right.
It's like, why are we doing this?
And then the girl's not even a clone of the lady. She gave birth to herself because nature finds a way, I guess.
Oh, my God. It's so bad. You know what I find funny too
is you get pounced on again in a second. I think.
Nah, she. Oh, maybe. Yeah, she just went up into her little, her little perch area. I found it funny too. I don't even remember what I was going to say now.
Sorry,
I forgot. No, it's fine. It's not your fault. This movie was so stupid. Like, oh yeah, and there's an even bigger, badder T-Rex now.
The Gigantosaurus or
whatever it was called. I'm like, it doesn't even look that much bigger.
No, it was like in Avatar when he catches the alpha flying thing.
Yeah,
they're like, it's so much bigger, and it's like, yeah, it's like 5 feet wider than the other ones, maybe.
Yeah, and this thing kept popping up at the most convenient times.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say something nice about this movie.
Go for it. It needs something.
Because the first two had, like, genetically modified dinosaurs in them, like the Abdominal Rex or whatever, and then, like, the one that they did that with the raptors or something.
Yeah.
This one had a lot of cool creatures from, like, Cretaceous period and Jurassic period. Like, the Freddy Krueger dinosaur with the long claws.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about earlier.
That was a really cool look. And then dude, they got a lot of the feathers right on some of them.
That thing messed up the other dinosaurs when they got involved with them.
Yeah. It killed the Gigantosaurus Rex or whatever.
The bird literally just, the dinosaur bird just walks up behind a dinosaur and goes, bitch, and stabs
it. Yeah. Welcome to Earth. Yeah.
Contrary to popular belief, he actually says Earth. There's no Earth.
I know. It's fun to say, though.
I know. Racism.
Oh, boy. I think anyway. It's okay to talk smack about Will Smith these days, though.
Oh, dude. The dude sucks. He sucked for a while. Not to mention they're making a fucking freaking I Am Legend 2.
Why?
Because so this is what's dumb. Like, okay, I wouldn't care if they made a second I Am Legend, but the fact that they're bringing Will Smith back is stupid because he dies. And they go, well, they're basing it off the alternate ending. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's an alternate ending.
Right.
Like, it's not the ending that was in the theater. So why are we doing this?
Well, you know that movie where Will Smith has to fight young Will Smith? Because young Will Smith's the only one that can defeat old Will Smith.
Will Smith's the only one that can defeat the vampire, the Disney vampires.
Yeah, so that's young Will Smith from...
Oh, okay.
What was that movie called again?
I think it was called Gemini Man.
Gemini Man, yeah. So yeah, they bring Gemini Man in to take care of the zombies because Will Smith's the only one who's good enough to stop the New York zombies, so, or vampires.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, dude. Oh, no, thank you.
So one of my complaints about the Star Wars prequels is there were so many times like the battle droids like caught the good guys and they never killed them. Like they'd be fighting and then like they get overrun and then the battle droids just all stop shooting. But I guess that makes sense because Palpatine could have like programmed him not to kill certain people because he needs a granddaughter later on or something. I don't know. Yeah. But God, this movie had like 7 or 8 or 9 times where the dinosaur catches up with the main character and totally has him against a wall. And instead of just biting them and eating them, it just kind of screams in their face and stands there until someone else can come along and save them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really annoying. Like, come on. Like, once or twice was fine. Like when Chris Pratt came and choked that one out because it was going to spit on her or whatever.
Oh, speaking of Chris Pratt, dude, this movie... You know, so in the first one, you know how he sticks his hand out?
Yeah.
The raptor training? Dude, when did that turn into that's how you stop dinosaurs from doing things and everyone does it?
Yeah, they did it so many times in this movie.
Dude, there was that... I laughed so hard. There was that point in the theater, or in the movie, when the T-Rex is released and then the other dinosaur is released that's not a T-Rex, but like it's the same size as
a
T-Rex.
Big T-Rex, yeah.
And he's doing the stop hand thing on both sides at the same time.
There.
Yeah, and he's just looking back and forth. I know this isn't visual, but I'm recreating what Chris Pratt did.
Yeah.
And it's just like, dude, this...
That was like, hilarious.
Oh my God. And then the girl's doing it to the little baby Blue.
Yeah.
It's just like, this movie sucks.
So... In the second movie, she knows she's a clone.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so.
And she says, like, I'm a clone, they're clones, they should live. But then...
She's like, I'm a clone, you're a clone, we're all clones.
Yeah, clones, man. But then in this one, she's like 14 or something, and she's like, I don't understand why I can't just go anywhere. And like, it's a big secret. Like, they can't just sit her down like, look, you're a clone. There's a whole bunch of people that want to get you for, like, IP or whatever. And to do experiments and stuff. And that's why you can't cross the bridge and go into town.
Yeah.
It's like a big secret. Like, are you going to tell her? No. Are you going to tell her? No. but she already knew in the second movie. So, yeah, it was pretty dumb. Like, that's get this.
Here we go.
Oh, there's another pounce.
Yep. Go ahead. Just use my arm as a bridge.
If I fits, I sits.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It's 100% it. She will sit on anything she can.
So, yeah, it was a goofy movie. I was taking notes for a while.
I wish it was a goofy movie. I'd rather watch that.
It's like, oh, now they're cowboys and they're rounding up dinosaurs. And now there's like, Claire does this whole thing where she breaks in to like free this one Triceratops because it's dying. Scene when they did that in the second movie, like hundreds of dinosaurs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just stupid. Oh, and then like when they're in the black market with all the dinosaurs everywhere, and the lady tags Claire with the laser or whatever, all of a sudden Claire's like making like these 20-foot jumps across buildings and like parkouring and like doing these rolls and dives, and it's like, maybe if she was living with Chris Pratt in the woods, like he was teaching her stuff, but where was that?
Yeah, like it just.
Because in the first movie, she's just a goofy, like, girl in high heels that can't.
Yeah, she's the girl who. She outrun a T-Rex with her high heels on.
And then the second movie, she's like this animal rights activist that's breaking into labs and stuff.
Yeah.
And then this one, she's just a ninja outrunning velociraptors and. Yeah. That was pretty ridiculous. It was like in Fast and Furious when The Rock or somebody was jumping over all the roofs in Brazil or whatever.
Oh, the when the first one The Rock was introduced in or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. They're all running across the route. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. Ugh. Those movies. I guess they've released the trailer for 10, but I haven't watched it yet.
Okay. I think... Oh, I did. Oh, my gosh. They're adding another Toretto. What is that, like 5 movies in a row now?
Yeah, seems like, about right.
Like, he has a son no one knew about, and then, like...
Oh, great.
He has a brother nobody knew about, and... Then Michelle's alive again, or whatever, Letty, or... Oh,
yeah, yeah, she came back in the 6th
Yeah, one? But now I think it's his mom?
Oh, of course.
Like, yeah, because it's all about family, so...
Yeah, yeah, literally.
F is her family.
Netflix.
Oh.
So we want to turn this into a two-parter, but I think we talk some movies. You want to do a TV show?
Sure.
Do you? So, all right. So, which one do we want to do?
Peacemaker.
Yeah, let's talk Peacemaker because we started that on the podcast, but we never got to it, dude. Peacemaker was great.
I agree. I ended up watching it 3 times.
Oh, wow. I should probably rewatch the first season.
I don't usually rewatch stuff a lot, but we watched it, and then
yeah,
I started with my wife, and we watched it, and then she told one of her friends, like, this is a really great show, and so the three of us watched it. So I watched the whole thing 3 times. But it's great. I enjoyed it.
It was very well written. John Cena's fantastic as... Yeah.
Peacemaker.
Gosh, having a brain fart here. Robert Patrick as his Nazi racist dad was awesome. Red Dragon, was that his? White Dragon. Red Dragon's from, what's the Ben Stiller movie? Tropic Thunder.
Okay.
They're the Red Dragon's the, like, Asian terrorists or whatever that capture them. That's what they're right. Called the Red Dragon. But yeah, Peacemaker, well written. All the characters were awesome, had a good story. I love that they had a chance to, like, save the world, and they were like, screw you guys.
Yeah,
it's like, we're gonna do it our way.
And the whole, like, butterflies living in people's heads and doing stuff was pretty good.
Yeah, that was crazy. I still haven't looked it up to see if those are actual, like, things from the DC universe.
Oh, right. They could be. I don't know.
But I know for some reason James Gunn has this, like, fetish of, like, making things that, like, attach to people. And then when they detach, it kills the people.
Like Slither and Starro.
And then these butterflies. Yeah. If you get rid of the butterfly or whatever.
Because it basically eats your brain and takes control of your body.
Yeah.
But it was great. I mean, it had gore. It had nudity. Just a lot of goofy 80s references.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the bands, I didn't think they were real bands that he was jamming out to, and I looked it up, and they were.
They're all, yeah, all of them. They're just, like, no-name bands, though.
Or, like, a Norwegian heavy metal band or something. And
yeah, all those Norwegian... Like, I think the theme song is done by, like, that band that he's obsessed with.
Yeah, I think so. And the dance in the beginning, in the credits.
Yeah.
Like, my wife and I would jump up and do the dance for every episode.
It got catchy. Like the first time you see it without, like, knowing what the show's going to be like, about, you're like, what is going on? But then it's like, all right, you get attached to it, and it's catchy, and I miss it, and I'm so looking forward to the second season.
Yeah, and the little green guy was great.
Yeah,
they killed him a couple times, but he didn't. And
always eating Cheetos.
Yeah, Flaming Hot Cheetos.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really good.
It like you said, it didn't have a weird, like, we gotta save. I mean, it did, but it didn't have, like, a Superman or a Captain Marvel show up that's, like, omnipowerful.
Technically, 2 Justice League members show up at the very end. Aquaman and the Flash.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
They show up after they've already defeated the
Butterflies. Oh, that's right. They, when they had the big cow in the barn or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, there's a portal or something.
Yeah, they're trying to make a portal, I think, to
the butterfly world.
The butterfly home world, so they can come and invade Earth. Because I think their planet's dying or something, you know, it's one of those tropes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they show up.
That's right. I remember that now.
And they bring up the fact that Aquaman had sex with a fish, and he's like, "You said you wouldn't tell anybody," or something.
Is that Ezra
like
Miller
that.
And Jason yeah, Momoa?
Jason Momoa. Yeah. It's funny because, like, you can tell, like, they clearly filmed their parts, but, like, they weren't there with them because there was, like, stand-ins when it would show them, like, every time they were talking with, like, Harcourt and Peacemaker or whatever, it would be from the Justice League members' backside.
Right. There was no, like, side-by-side shot.
Yeah, there's no side-by-side with them. But it was funny to see them show up, even though... Well, as we said earlier, Ezra Miller's a trash human being, but at the time, without knowing all this about him, it was funny to see both of them show up, too.
I just wish in the Flashpoint movie that they made that Elliot Page
was
plays
Flash.
The other Ezra Miller instead of two Ezra Millers, because they look kind of similar. Like, it could be Ezra Miller's little brother kind of thing.
That'd be funny.
Yeah.
There's talk about the guy who plays Flash in the TV show taking over.
Okay.
Because they just ended, or they're ending the TV show.
Like, this I didn't understand why they didn't just go to the Arrowverse to merge with the DCU.
So funny thing, right before, like, the DCEU, like, took off, like, they were just introducing the Suicide Squad into... Arrow, but then they stopped because they announced the Suicide Squad movie.
Right.
So, like...
The Will Smith one?
Yeah, the Will Smith one, not the good one. so, like, they had Deadshot. He was in the show for a little bit.
I remember that.
Deadshot was in there. He dressed like Snake Plissken a couple times. It was really cool. Harley Quinn was in an episode for like 2 seconds. I think you just heard her voice, though. I don't think they actually showed her. And then they had to stop with the Suicide Squad stuff because they were making the movie. For some reason, they didn't want those universes to like intertwine,
right.
Which doesn't make sense because like a few seasons ago, or maybe it was just last season, Ezra Miller's Flash showed up in an episode of The Flash.
Right.
It's just
because multiverses got big, so they started.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
started merging them. That's why you got Michael Keaton coming back, and
yeah,
Spider-Man No Way Home, and
yeah, I was gonna say The Flash No Way Home. Michael Keaton, Ben Affleck. Who knows that you? There's gonna be more. There's gonna be more stuff that happens in that movie,
right?
I don't know who else is gonna show up though. Are we gonna get Jack Nicholson back as the Joker?
I hope the guy that played the Flash in the 90s that played the Flash's dad in the TV show
shows up as a Flash
yeah
from the 90s show
with his foam muscle suit.
That'd be so funny.
Yeah, that'd be great. You're like, "Dad?" And he's like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, so here's the thing too though, is Michael Keaton's Batman, is he Bruce Wayne or is that Thomas Wayne? Because in Flashpoint, so okay, spoilers for anybody who doesn't know anything about Flashpoint, so when Barry Allen goes back in time and saves his mom from dying, it changes everything in present time, or his present time. So instead of Batman's parents dying in the alley, Bruce Wayne ends up being killed. His mom goes crazy and becomes the Joker, and his dad becomes Batman.
Oh, that's right.
So I wonder if Michael Keaton's going to be Thomas Wayne, or if he's actually just like, "I'm Batman from Tim Burton Batman universe."
Right.
What if Christian Bale shows up? I doubt it. He's probably like, "I'm so sick of this superhero crap."
Too bad Adam West is dead.
I know. Well, I mean, they've been filming this movie, I think, before he died. This movie's gone through so many reshoots and new directors, and it's just like you said, it's going to be a mess when it comes out. It's not going to be good.
No.
but people are like so hyped on it. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead, be hyped, but it's not going to be good. But could be wrong. Could be fantastic.
Could be.
Could be.
Never know.
Never know. I thought it was crazy that they killed Peacemaker's dad.
Right.
Like, I thought he would at least be in, like, another season or something. But nope, he dies.
I wonder if they didn't know if they're going to get a second season, and so they were not really thinking about season two. Who knows?
I don't. Maybe.
Maybe.
Vigilante is fantastic.
Oh, gosh, I love Vigilante so much.
This Vigilante is better than the Vigilante that was in the Arrow show for a little bit.
Oh, I didn't even know he was in there.
Oh, yeah, dude. He was terrible, though. He was such a stupid character.
I like how he wants to get in the prison, so he just kind of walks past all the cops and picks up a trash can and starts trying to break the window.
Yeah. Gets arrested, yep.
That was great. Has to drop his pants to pee. So many goofy jokes.
I am definitely looking forward to season two.
Yeah, me too. Is there any word on if it's coming out or?
I'm not sure. I think they're still filming.
Okay.
I want to hear. Let's do one more before we call it quits for this episode.
Okay.
Let's do another TV show, but I want to hear you crap on The Rings of Power. I didn't watch it, but you braved the storm and watched
it. I did watch the whole thing. Oh boy.
Here we go. The Rings. Okay, before you start, I just got to say this. The Rings of Power was so bad that Warner Brothers is starting a new Lord of the Rings trilogy movies.
Okay, that's kind of funny. So, okay, I'll say something nice first. I was excited to see practical effects and armor and stuff in the show, even though sometimes it just looked like it was armor and it was kind of rubbery and bent punny. Mm-hmm. But some of the orc makeup and stuff was really good, because that's what I really liked about the Lord of the Rings versus the Hobbit movies. The Hobbit movies were really CGI heavy.
The whole, like, I don't think anything about those movies were real besides the actors, right?
Right. It started out good with all the different beards and the dwarves and stuff, but the original Lord of the Rings, I mean, they had CGI ghost people climbing over elephants and stuff, but for the most part, you had dudes dressed up as orcs, or soldiers or whatever.
Yeah.
You had big sets with horses and stuff, and so this one had some of that stuff. But like Gandalf comes to Earth, and I guess we're not supposed to know it's Gandalf, but it's a really tall white guy with a beard, but he doesn't know anything. And some hobbits, but they're not hobbits, they're Harfoots or something. But they're hobbits, find him and like teach him how to talk and eat and stuff. But there's this whole thing like, that's really Sauron. And we're all like, no, that's Gandalf. And then there's another dude who shows up because Galadriel is looking for Sauron. And she... Okay, so this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Ever. She gets ordered by the Elf King to return to Elf Heaven, which is like through this portal where they're immortal and everything. And so they cross the ocean for like days and days. And they get to the magic portal to go to Elf Heaven, and the boat's about to go in, and she decides she's going to jump off the boat with nothing but this knife she got from her dead brother and like a nightgown. And she's going to swim like 1,000 miles all the way back to Middle Earth through the ocean. It was so dumb. Oh, I was so mad. It was like, really? Like, that's her plan? So like a couple days into her journey back, this dude picks her up in the ocean, and everyone's like, oh, that's Sauron. And, well, I mean, fans are saying that, but yeah, they're like, no, I'm not Sauron. I'm a good guy. I'm really like Aragorn's ancestor. I'm a king to whatever, Gondor.
The one that screws everybody over, who keeps the ring or whatever.
No, the
No, doesn't this show take place way before that incident too? Like the big battle to kill?
Yeah, like 1,000 years before or something.
Okay.
So, or maybe hundreds of years, but it's a long time. It's not like 20 years before. So.
No, I was going to say, does like everybody back in those days just live hundreds of years?
Right. So like Gandalf's an angel and like the Balrog is a demon.
Mm-hmm.
And Sauron is like in the same group. They're like immortal beings or something. And then the elves are immortal. And then the dwarves can live hundreds of years. But it was just terrible. Like he picks her up in the middle of the ocean and they go to this human island and everyone's like, oh, we hate you because you're an elf. Even though the elves built our city or something. It was just dumb. And then like they're like, oh, that guy's really Sauron. And it's like, yeah, we all knew that. And then at the very end, they're like, oh, wow, that guy's really Gandalf. And it's like, yeah, we knew that. Like, there was a couple of cool things. Like, they find this weird sword, and if you put blood on it or something from the right person, it glows and grows. And it's like a key that they turn, and it, like, causes all these volcanoes to erupt, which didn't make a whole lot of sense from a scientific perspective. But this is magic, right? So that's how Mordor is created. From this Southlands area, like they trigger some ancient device that Sauron had built 1,000 years before or something. I don't know. It was bad. Like Galadriel, it was just like Rey from Star Wars, like we were saying. Like she can do everything. Mm-hmm. And she's so snarky and won't listen to anybody and knows everything, even though she's wrong a lot. Like she's fighting this ice troll or something, and it totally wipes out like her whole group of elven warriors. But she just does all these spins and flips and cuts it and does the whole thing where she like from Kill Bill Volume 2 or 1, when she cuts off the one girl's top of her head with the sword.
Okay, yeah.
That it really is Hanzo or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She does that with the ice troll. Like she slashes it and then she does this whole thing where she's looking away and just stands there in a pose. And then like the ice troll falls over dead. And it's like, oh yeah, she took the whole thing on by herself when this whole army couldn't do it. Yeah, it was stupid.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a good of a time. That when they released the trailer, I was just like, dude, this looks like it's going to be rough. And then they released like interviews with like the writers and stuff like that on YouTube.
Right.
And I remember, like, the writers were like, yeah, we're huge Tolkien fans, you know, and we respected the lore while creating something new, and diversity, blah, 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 the first black elf, the first black dwarf, blah, 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 and it's just like, that's not what Lord of the Rings is about.
Right, it was like an English folklore fairy tale thing.
It's like, I don't care if you add, like, it makes sense. Like in like Tolkien's like books as to why there wasn't like a lot of like diverse characters for the time, because you know it took place mostly from what I've heard is he mainly like created the Lord of the Rings universe based off of like old English time or something like that, right
like medieval England
basically. Yeah so it's like, you know, well, guess what, English people are white, so that's why all the story's white. And like, I don't care that they like, go ahead, add black dwarves, right. Add black elves, I could care less. But the fact that you got to sit there and expect a pat on the back for putting it in there is really annoying.
Right. Like you know the Kevin Costner Robin Hood movie?
Yeah, actually, yes.
Okay, so they wanted a black character, Morgan Freeman, to be in the movie. So they explained that he brought him back from the Crusades, like when he was in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there's a black guy in England. Like, they justified it. But this one, like, the girl who's, like, the queen of the island they go to, like, her dad is this old white guy, but she's black. And then, like, the dwarven wife is black, but she has white kids. And then there's a white woman who has a black kid. Like, they did this with the Wheel of Time series, too. Like, and I suppose there's a possibility that there's like a magical fantasy cinematic universe where white people can have black kids and vice versa, but it just didn't make any sense. Like, here's a white couple with a black baby.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make sense from a genetic standpoint.
No.
Like, I'm fine with them putting black people in this stuff. It's not a big deal, but to just do it in that way, it was weird. Yeah.
Because it's like, well, two white people don't make a black.
Right.
Unless there's some super extremely, like, one in a billion.
Right.
Error in genetics when, yeah, but like, I don't, I,
because I know, like, mixed couples, like, sometimes if they have two kids, like, one kid's a lot darker than the other,
yeah,
so that's possible, but they just didn't do a very good job to explain that, and they didn't have to explain it, but it would have been nice if there was like a 2-second scene where it showed the girl's mom who was black and the dad was white, and then you're like, okay, that makes sense,
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it was. Everything was run by sassy black people, like the elves, the dwarves, the humans, the...
And they're all female, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Elrond looks like Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, that's one of the Doctor Who's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's the same Doctor Who that was in Terminator Genesis. And
no, you're thinking of the new Game of Thrones show, I think.
Oh, yeah, maybe? You're right. You're right. He's in that.
He's one of the Targaryen. Yeah,
he might be in both. I'm gonna look it up.
Okay.
We'll see here.
But he meets Durin, or one of the dwarves, who's like the dad of one of the dwarves from The Hobbit in The Lord of the Rings. Like, when they go to Moria, like, it's associated with the guy that was dead by the well where they dropped the skull or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they gave you this impression that Elrond and this dwarf were like lovers. Like, the dwarf's really mad that the elf hasn't called in 20 years and that they were really close and then he just disappeared and why'd you ghost me, bro? But there's just a lot of awkward, like, silences. Like, were these two dudes hooking up? Which, there's nothing wrong with that, but at the same time, it's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was just, it was weird.
So, it's looking like you were right.
But he really does look like Neil Patrick Harris. Like a younger... But yeah, it was... I don't know. There's just a lot of elements in the story that were lame. Like, the white lady in the village, who's like the only woman who has any curves in this thing. They all look like Rey from Star Wars. She has a black baby or a brown baby. Well, he's like a 10-year-old or something. Mm-hmm. But she's always flirting with this black elf guy who's guarding the tower over the village or something. But they have like this forbidden love, kind of like the elf and the dwarf in the Hobbit movies.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So is that his son? But they make it look like they never kind of actualized their love, like they never kissed or anything. They just kind of longingly stare at each other all the time until later on in the movie when I think they, or the TV show, when they do kiss, I think. But yeah, they kind of imply that that's his son, but if they've done it, like, shouldn't they be a little bit more familiar than like, oh, I don't know if you like me or not. I've been watching you from afar. Yeah, so it just wasn't written very well. They spent like $1 billion on this.
Yeah. Isn't that insane?
A lot of that was probably for the rights to the book, but at the same time, this should have had like a really good writer.
Well, the thing that like baffles me about it too is like they announced this like what, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah.
And it turns out that they were holding off to actually make it because they were waiting for J.R. Tolkien's son to die. Because he was, like, watching and, like, giving them pointers and, like, hey, you can't do it that way, you know? Like, every time they would write a script, they would send it to him for him to read, and he'd be like, no, this sucks. You can't do it this way. It needs to be done Tolkien's way.
Right.
And so they just kept putting it off, and then he passed away in, I think, 2019? 2020?
Okay.
And then as soon as he passed away, dude, they put that show right into full gear and just boom.
Because his kids probably didn't give a crap, right? Or his estate or whatever. They probably are like, do whatever you want, just give us money.
No, it was the opposite. His son like was like, I don't want you to ruin my dad's legacy.
I mean, not so Tolkien's son.
The Amazon after he died, people?
Like the son's estate, they probably said, oh, we don't care.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're like, whatever, just give us money.
Just back that dump truck up and full of cash.
Yeah. And then that's the show that we ended up getting.
That's how I feel about Spielberg. I have this theory that right after Spielberg dies, they're going to remake Back to the Future and like
E.T. Oh, yeah, 100%.
And the only reason why you don't have like a Ghostbusters 2016 version of Back to the Future is because Spielberg's still alive and won't sign off on it.
Yeah, not yet anyways. Yeah, he straight up, him and Spielberg didn't direct Back to the Future. It was Zemeckis, right?
Zemeckis, yeah.
Yeah, him and Spielberg were both said like, as long as we're alive, none of our movies will be remade.
Right.
And it's like, well, I mean, that's cool, but like, as crappy as it's going to say, you know, they're both up there now. Could go at any time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I want them to.
No.
By any means, but it's just...
I just make a comparison with the Tolkien thing.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's like, it's going to suck the day where it's like, Spielberg passes away, and then the next day, Jaws remake.
Right. Exactly. Not that there hasn't been 500 Jaws clones already.
Yeah. Dude, you know what? I still back this statement, and I just might not have seen a lot of shark movies, but in my opinion, the only good shark movie is the first Jaws.
Yeah. I agree.
Like, I like Deep Blue Sea, but it's not, like, good. It's just stupid fun.
Oh, yeah, that's the Samuel L. Jackson one?
Yeah, the one where he dies at the very beginning. Super smart sharks. Yeah, the smart sharks.
Trying to cure Alzheimer's or something?
Yeah, it was something like that, yeah. through shark marrow or something. Or shark brains. There's something in the shark brain that, something. Like...
So they keep breeding smarter and smarter sharks, yeah.
Yep.
Sharknado is pretty good.
I saw the first one and couldn't stand it. I was like, this is stupid even on my own level.
Yeah. It's kind of like a trauma movie. They just made it bad on purpose, which was the whole point.
And then they ended up making like six more of those movies.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Like that.
But we still don't have Dread 2.
I know, right?
And we never will.
Sad.
Yep. But yeah, guys, so we're going to do a second part because we still have quite a bit of movies we want to talk about. Yeah. We just figured nobody would want to listen to a 4-hour episode, so we're going to break it off.
Sounds good.
And we're going to continue on. My list, it's mostly horror movies, to be honest with you, for the next like stuff to talk about. We pretty much covered everything. Well, there's still a few more on here. But yeah, dude, a lot of trashy horror movies came out last year that I watched, and I can't wait to crap on them on the next episode.
Nice.
But glad to be back. Glad to be doing this again after a year plus hiatus.
Yeah.
Feels good to put the boots back on.
I put my shoes on one leg at a time, but then I make gold podcasts, so... Or something. I just butchered that Christopher Walken quote. That's okay.
But during our hiatus, you actually started a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
It's been a minute since you've uploaded.
Yeah, I put one out like 6 weeks ago.
Oh, did you? Okay.
And I didn't get the notification. Before that, it was like 3 months ago, so.
I didn't get the notification for it.
Yeah, I started...
Anyways, he's got a YouTube channel. I believe it's called The Play Stamps Here Show, right?
Play Stamp Here Show, yeah.
Yeah, you guys should go check that out. Greg loves stamps, and he's very knowledgeable, and you will definitely learn something about stamps that you did not know before.
Yeah, I've been meaning to record more. I got a whole bunch of stuff lined up. I've just been playing a lot of Pokemon games the last few months.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that. I thought
it'd let my kids and I kind of have something in common, but... Anyway.
But yeah, guys, so...
Having fun with the YouTube. Danny's got one, too. Danny's Rants and Reviews.
Yeah, but I barely upload. Yeah. I came out of retirement for that just because I wanted to shit on... I think it was Halloween Ends. I think I put, like, a 10-minute rant about how terrible that movie was.
Yeah, and some frozen pizza review or something. Was that...
That was you and I. Oh, yeah, that's right. That was the first video back.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and then I uploaded something else after it was I think I did a trailer reaction to something. I just don't remember what.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm not going to be doing a whole lot on that. But like, this is the main focus, obviously, shooting the film. We're using the software now, and we can record video. So if you guys want like video or like podcast too or whatever, let me know and maybe we'll give it a shot. It's not going to be anything fun. It's literally just your generic like Skype looking screen,
right? Like a COVID conference call.
Yeah, exactly. But if that's something you guys are interested in, let me know and we might give that a shot.
Yeah.
Any last words?
No.
Me either. We'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Bye-bye.